A new day is dawning. A new day is here. We had the minister last night for the TV program. Actually, it wasn't last night, but it was over in the morning that we had the minister for the TV program. And it was caused us to be kind of late going home, whereas I had not planned to minister last night. Didn't have any plans of ministering last night with the TV program because I was tired. I'd been up 2 and 3 o'clock morning after morning, and I really didn't plan to do that. But they reminded me that Wes, tonight, today is church worship. Monday night is men's meeting. Tuesday night is a special meeting. Wednesday night is church night, and he's got to have it Thursday morning. So that just about eliminates anything, you know, other than last night. And I had to just do the very best I could. But I appreciate Brother Bill York. Bill said he went home. And Bill said, Brother Pike, you know, Bill returned later. And Bill said, I had noticed, Brother Pike, that you seemed to be so weary and so tired. And truly I was. And he said, I got home and said, I got to thinking about it. And I believe Bill said, I just got to weeping when I got to thinking about it. And said, I began to pray. And I said, God, help Brother Pike. Strengthen Brother Pike. And he knew that I was going to try to make the video or maybe had some inclination of it. And you know, God did just exactly that. I got up here, and there's a new surge of strength come in, and I felt good and ready, and even after an hour, about 3, 4, 5 hours of waiting on Brother David and different ones and doing the things I had to do, Bill had come back, he returned, and he said, Brother Pike, you won't know how I felt. And I told him, I said, I feel good. I feel like I could go on all night long, Bill. And then he told me what he did. You know, isn't that wonderful? See, it's wonderful that Bill would be considerate of me, and even so wonderful to think that God would answer Bill's prayer and cause me to gain that new strength that I needed to be able to go on and do my chores for God. I just thought it was wonderful. You know, if you prayed a prayer for your neighbor, whereas before they've never considered Christ, and whereas they've never come to the house of God. Maybe if you would pray a prayer for your neighbor and then extend to them an invitation to the house of God, who knows but what we might have a new family in church. Still think about Brother Gonzalez, how that he one day invited Brother Jimmy Kirk. Jim had never heard about our ministry and never been around us. Well, Brother Al Gonzalez, I believe at that time, staying in an old dilapidated house and maybe not even a bed, I'm not sure. But he was still missionarying it around in this area. He just got in. He hadn't really got right as far as finance was concerned, you know, to buy him a trailer or anything. And he was making out, living in an old house. But he extended an invitation to his neighbor. And as a result of that, we have a number of families that's with us. Just because of Al Gonzalez's labor. And that has happened numbers of times. You know, if you would just extend an invitation. But you know, you feel like, well, I don't know. I'm not too much in harmony with that church myself. And I'm not too sure I'm going to stay there. And I want to do what I can while I'm there, you know. And but I'm not too settled over it. And so your neighbor sees it. And under those conditions, it wouldn't do you any good to extend an invitation because somewhere in your daily whereabouts and your invitation, you'd kill all the desire and enthusiasm of your neighbor anyway. That is, toward the house of God. You'd kill all of their ego. And you wouldn't do any good anyway. So it would be better, you know, that if you'd pray through, get right with God, and then after that, go out to win souls. A lot of people never really go out to win souls. Isn't that right? I know of occasions where Betty and I would be in revival, maybe over in another town, another city. And during this time, I would take it on myself to fast, to seek God. And I have, maybe I would get somebody to go with me. I've done this, you know. Maybe in that town, I'd get somebody to go with me. Maybe just me and maybe one more person. And I would go from door to door. And I'd just knock on the door, you know. And I'd go to this door and I'd say, "Good morning. My name is Brother Pike, and I'm here in revival. I'm in this area. I'm visiting here a little bit, and I'm trying to do something for God. And I just thought I'd drop by and say hello and get acquainted." And with that, you know, the begin with, they'd kind of eye you kind of funny. And then after that, you just, the time you told them your purpose and that you just wanted to get acquainted, well, that would break the ice. And then they'd say, why, sure, glad to meet you, Brother Pike. Would you like to come in?" I'd say, I would like to come in for just a few minutes, you know, if it won't be imposing on you. And I'd like to talk with you just a few moments, visit, get acquainted. Sure, come on in. And, you know, in just maybe 4 or 5 minutes, I would have a new friend and a new, well, neighbor while I was in that area. And whether you believe it or not, house after house, I've taken them in numbers, one to another, and maybe not spend more than 10 or 15 minutes at a house. One after another, and God is my witness, from one house to another, a total stranger that never knew me, that never knew anything about God to that extent, before I left the place, I would have them on their knees, and we would be praying and talking to God before I would get out of the house. You might say, "Brother Pike, I don't believe that. That's the truth, so help me God." That stranger, that person, talking with them that few minutes, I would have them on their knees, sometimes the whole family, or practically the whole family, on their knees talking to God just in that few minutes that I had taken to drop by and visit. And I have counted the houses one after another, about 10 to 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. 10 to 15 minutes in one day, and then go back in the evening and think of all the houses I had visited and how many people that I had gotten down on their knees that day to talk with God. You might not believe it, but I have had men that are so hard, that as far as I know, no one ever got them on their knees at any time before or since the day that I visited with them. But nevertheless, that shows you what can be done by going on with God. Sister Betty well remembers the case where we set the tent. It's a number of miles from here. It's been numbers of days back. But Sister Betty remembers how that in that area, there was a man that lived not far from the church. Hard, callous, just had been known to drive the police away and everybody else and take a metal bar and whip, I believe, as many as 3 men at one time. But, and nobody in that town had touched him. And many years had gone by, the man up in age. But we were able to go there by the love of God and by the things of God and convert that man to God, turn him to Christ and his family to Christ, and cause that man, before we left the area, to be in the church that, as far as I know, he had never been into in his whole life, and to become one to work there in the church with the pastor. You know, I said that to say this one thing, and that is, a lot of times we say, "Well, I'm dwarfed. I can't do anything for God. Everybody else has got a place, and everybody else is doing something for God, but I can't do anything for God." But see, long before I ever came to do what I'm doing now, I've done many things that you could be doing today that many of you have not done. House to house, witnessing hundreds of homes, perhaps in the past, witnessing from door to door, either on my job or either when I started out trying to preach the gospel. Doing those things because I love Jesus. But you know, in the world today, people are not interested in Jesus, and they're not really in love with Jesus. Their interest is to see if they can get a ministry, see if they can get famous, and see if they can get security, and see if they can become attractive in the eyes of the people to be magnified. But that isn't the way. That isn't the way. That's not the way to get up to this place to where you can tell people about Jesus. There's another way, and that way is the way that I made mention of this morning. Today we're able, by the help of God, perhaps to reach, I guess we maybe on TV, we may have a potential from 25 to 50 million people. I'd say at least that many that we can reach or have a potentiality of reaching. And I guess we probably have maybe, I'd say, not under 100,000 potentiality when it comes to radio. So then there is many, many people that we can reach, you know, where we're at today. We can reach many people. I say 100,000. That would be just a tiny drop in the bucket. Maybe 25 to, well, I wish Bill sometime would take the radio log and just figure them up. I've had him to figure up just a few of them and give them to me. But I wish he would figure it up sometimes and just bring it down and let me just read to you what we could reach. I say 100,000 because I know that we would cover that so easy, so easy. But really, there's no telling how many, many multiplied thousands of people that we can reach. Thousands of people. See, in Atlanta, Georgia alone, just by radio, not considering TV, we have a potentiality of 2 million people. 2 million people just in Atlanta, Georgia alone. So you can see when I say 100,000 people, well, we should be reaching that many without any trouble. Maybe that many or more on one station. I'd say that we would have a potentiality of maybe 50 to 100 million people just by radio alone. So then, it is so wonderful to be able to reach out and do something for people. That doesn't have anything to do with the outreach that we have when it comes to the printed page. Because we're in about 35 foreign languages, and a number of those languages are already active and out into the fields in numbers of places, reaching as far as little Bethlehem over in Jerusalem, way down into South America, almost to Del Fuego, the land of fire, reaching up into Canada, over into Europe, up as far as the land of the midnight sun, over into the islands, into Jamaica and Grand Cayman and all around. Brother Walker can tell you how many tracts that we passed out over in Jamaica. It was a terrific amount of tracts, wasn't it, brother? And not only that, when night come, it didn't stop them from passing out the tracts. Brother Walker and others got over near the window, and as we went down the road, there's just people, hundreds of people and thousands of people along those little roads, and they would throw them out the window as they went by, and people just scrambled to get a hold of them. And I don't know how many multiplied pieces of literature was given out by that means. And then when we left, when Betty and I caught the plane to come back, Brother Al Gonzalez and Brother Bradley tarried, and I don't know how many thousands of tracts that they gave out hand to hand as they tarried behind after that we had left Jamaica. So see, doing something for God begins with you. And if you are not in shape, as Sister Dale said, if you're not turned on, there won't be any life showing forth in you. There won't be anything that will attract others in your life. But when you start with one and from door to door, then, brethren, you'll have a chance to do something for God. I am not satisfied with what I'm doing for God, neither at home nor abroad. But I'm asking God to be merciful to me. And I'm asking God to help me to help others. And I'm asking God to give me a greater world outreach. I asked God for a world outreach. He gave me a world outreach. But I'm asking God for a much greater world outreach, because I want to reach out much greater around the world in doing something for God. Now, I talk about this and maybe you get bored with it. You know, maybe you'd rather hear something else. But with me, this is my life and this is my interest. He that winneth souls is wise. And this is my interest, to win souls. I've never wanted to be a preacher. I said many years ago, I said, I'm not interested in being a preacher. I've never had any ambition or desire to be a preacher. But I've asked God many times to make me a soul winner, because I have had a great burning zeal and desire to win souls for God. The Bible doesn't say he that preacheth is wise, but rather he that winneth souls. I can be a preacher and run people through like herds of cattle, praying for them and doing things that will make me look fancy and nice in the eyes of the people. And certainly you can play on that kind of thing, because there's thousands of people that are sick. All over the world, people are sick. And it's a big thing, you know, to herd them in like cattle and play with them like toys, and everybody thinks something is happening and everybody gets into it. It's a great thing, but to me that don't mean nothing. I'm interested in winning souls to God. That's why Jesus came. He didn't play games. When he prayed for somebody, they were really healed. He didn't have games. He really prayed for them. They were healed. When the apostles prayed, they were really healed. They didn't play games to try to be a pretty boy or be something fancy in the eyes of the people. They were sincere men that devoted their lives to the cause of God to win souls. And when Paul came along, he was just exactly like they. When he came, he wanted to win souls, and his one ambition was to travel and win souls, and he did all over the different parts of the world. So then at Little Bethlehem, I would like to have a soul-winning station. I would like for our light here as a body to shine so brilliant and so bright that the world could see a light from Bethlehem. You know, one day a man was born in Bethlehem of Judea, just one single lone individual, but such a light as he had within his bosom, as the song said, reached out around the world, and he touched the heart of every living creature. Jesus did that. Not only touched the heart of every living creature of his day, but touched the heart of every living creature that was to come after his day. Not only did that, but touched the heart of every living creature that ever lived before his day, by going down into the heart of the earth and preaching to the souls in prison. And by the great prophetical utterance of this Christ that was to come, all down through the years as the prophets spoke about him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could just touch the hearts of some people? I just hope God will let me touch the hearts of some people, Brother Walker, that I might cause them to turn to Christ. When I think about hell, it doesn't move me, only in one sense. And that is when I think about those that have already gone to hell. And I know there's no way that I can reach those people. There's no way that I can help those people. That's over with them. That is over as far as them having any help. And that tears me up to think that people are already in hell and nobody can get to them. Whether they preach or whatever, you can't reach them. It's over for them. So then, I want to be a soul winner. I want to do something for God. I want to read from the 28th chapter of the book of Proverbs, if you've got your Bible. If you've got it, you can read along with me. The 28th chapter of the book of Proverbs. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresseth the poor is like a sweeping rain, which leaveth no food. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for them that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect to person is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. He that rebuketh the man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, you know, we could go on and go on with the wonderful Word of God here. And if I didn't preach any at all this morning, if I didn't preach any at all, then I have already read enough to where it would be sufficient to save a world. And to cause a world to have discretion in the sight of God and to live right. But you know, there's so many things here in this one chapter until there's hardly any place to start. If I can take just one scripture here and enlarge upon it, I would probably have to preach all day long just on that one scripture to be able to bring out the wonderful things that's hid in it. Here we notice that it says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. According to the Bible, it wouldn't be necessary to have so many rulers, so many elections, so many changes of great men if it wasn't for the transgression of the land, if it wasn't for the problems the changing over and always something going on or going wrong, it wouldn't be necessary to do that. We could just have one prince, and that would be the Prince of Peace, and that would take care of the whole thing. But because transgression continues, then God has to continually put up one ruler that might be a bad prince, put up another ruler that might be a good prince, and always changing things about to be able to deal with the people. Now, if we have knowledge, he goes on to tell us, and if we have understanding, we can prolong the state and conditions of that land, or we can cause it to become a great country. And he goes on to tell us here that a righteous man, he will speak out against the things that are wrong. But such as keep the law contend with them. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. But they that keep the law will contend with them that do wrong. If a man really keeps the laws of God, or if he keeps the natural law, he will find himself contending with those that do not keep the law. If you are just a lover of the natural law, you know, if you have respect to the natural laws of the land, nothing but the natural law, you yourself will contend with people that speed up and down the road, people that break the law, and people that do things that are contrary to the law. The reason is because you have a great respect for the law. And this is why that you contend with them. And it's the same way with the spiritual laws of God. If a person is wicked, and if that person does not care for the laws of God, then they're not going to contend with anybody else about the law, because they are in harmony with that which is contrary to God. But brethren, if you love the laws of God, and you love the ways of God, and you love the things of God, you're going to find yourself contending with the people that are contrary and perverse to the laws of God. You know, here on the campground, many times people, they have a hard time understanding Brother Pike. Because I don't want people coming on the campground just doing any old way. I don't like for the young fellas to come on the campground and spin their wheels and sling the gravel. I believe that that is wrong, and I contend with them about that. Because I know that they may kill a little one. They may spin the wheels, and one rock may kill a little child. They may be doped up and come carelessly on the grounds. They may not even be aware of what they're doing. They may be so doped up or having a flashback from such thing till they may come on the grounds and just run down a little one and kill a little one before they realize what's happening. And maybe they wouldn't have done it at all. Maybe they're not that kind of person. But because they wouldn't listen, because they got themselves in a snare, and because they've injured their understanding, and their concept of life has been so misused, they're confused. And they come on the ground with a boisterous attitude, or feeling like people are against them or something, and not meaning to hurt anybody, but just going to show the people, you know, that they're not going to submit to their way of life. Just an old evil attitude, an old spirit that's got a hold of them, you know. They come in this kind of condition, and Brother Pike contends with them, because I am in disagreement with them. And they that love God, and they that love righteousness, and they that care for the preservation of the heart of men and the lives of mankind, they stand with me and they contend with them because they are against that kind of thing. There are many men, men of different standing, calibers, occupations. They are not lawyers. They are not policemen. They are not sheriffs. But those people stand with the law because they know that the law is a means of preservation of their business and of their goods and of their rights and protection to them. Therefore, they stand with the law and they contend with the people that transgress the law. And they unite together. Where the Bible uses the terms that the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. You know, isn't that bad? For the children of God to have to sit back and realize that the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. Can you imagine that? To think that in their ways the world is wiser than the church. Can you fathom such a thing?
that the world is wiser than the church in their ways. It isn't, as I've said so many times, it isn't that they are wiser. It isn't that they have more wisdom. They don't have the understanding that the church has. Their understanding is not equal to the understanding of a son of God. But in their ways, in applying what they do understand, in putting into action what they have been endowed with, they are wiser in their ways, in their activities, in their plans, coming together, forming a great bulwark, or forming a fortress around that which belongs to them. They are wiser in their transactions, in that they know that they are dependent upon their credit status, and they are dependent upon the integrity that they maintain before mankind, in that the world is watching them, and they are wiser in their ways of conduct and in their ways of being conservative and not being wasteful. And in their ways, they are wiser than the children of light. My. If they can do something so outstanding, being so limited. Doing something so outstanding that God would take notice in such a way to say that they are wiser in their ways than the people of God who have all wisdom. Being dwarfed in life, being so little in life. Brothers and sisters, think what it would mean if you and I, with the great wisdom of God that He has given to mankind, with the great understanding of God that the sons of God have, what if we rose up? What if we became wise in our doings? What if we united together, as the Bible tells us, and become one unit with God, and stood like men, having the great understanding, the mind of God, we could sweep over the world and take the kingdom for God. And just overnight, as we would say, the entire world would be swept away, swept off of their feet. You know, God told them, said, now when you go into the Canaan land, this is going to be your protection. He didn't say that the power of arms would be their protection. Nor did He say might, nor money, nor prestige, nor ability. But He said, this is going to be your protection. This is going to be the thing that will protect you when you go into Canaan. And that is that they are going to see your wisdom. And they're going to see your great understanding. And they are going to be afraid of you. You know, you take a person, averagely speaking, that has never been to school, realizing that they are inadequate when it comes to communication and speech. They shy away from talking to some great intellectual because they feel so inadequate. They have a fear of meeting that person and exchanging conversation with them because they know that that person can say words that they won't even understand what he's saying. That he can make them look like a fool because he can say things to them, ask them questions that they wouldn't even know what he was saying. Are you following me? A great fear comes on that person that has to face such a person. And it's the same way with God. If we magnify Christ in our lives, if we lift up God in our lives, and if we let the light of Christ shine forth, it'll be so brilliant, so bright, as it was in the days of Stephen's, when the Bible said they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake. Great and mighty men of understanding, great doctors of the law, they stood there and they heard the words of Stephen's, but they could not understand. It was so mighty, even Jesus as a little child up in the temple, just maybe 12 years old or just a little fella, sitting in the temple with the great doctors of the law, great men of divinity. And the Bible said that He asked them questions and answered their questions in such a way till they were literally astounded at Him. But yet he was a human being just like you are a human being. You say, but that was Jesus. But the Bible said that when it came to Stephen's, that they could not withstand the great wisdom by which Stephen spake. So it wasn't just Jesus. That wasn't what it was. It was the great Spirit of God that was inside of that body of Jesus Christ. It was the great enlightenment of the Heavenly Father. Because Jesus, as a man, stated, I can do nothing of myself, but I do whatever I see my Father do. So then when we become motivated by the Spirit, and we become filled by the Spirit of God, oh, brother and sister, what could we do if we would conduct ourselves accordingly? When we go out, conduct ourselves like great men. Don't go out as a fool just to go here and there and flounder around like an old fish. Don't do that. You are a great man. You are a great woman. You are a God man. You are a God woman. And when you walk out, think what it would be like. A woman that would be a goddess. If she really knew that she was a goddess. When she walked through the town. When she walked through the areas of a city. Why, she wouldn't go through there like some foolish woman. But she would walk like a princess as she walked through, because she's a great goddess. And she would conduct herself in such manner, and all of her dealings before the people would be such, because she is greatly esteemed. Betty and I, we had a chance one time to view a little bit of the queen. You know, in the foreign country, there they have a queen. We had a chance one time to view a little bit of the royalty. And I'll tell you what, it's literally breathtaking. You can't imagine all of the things that they can do in this world to literally make it breathtaking. It's so spectacular, so great and so mighty in the things that they bring about, and the carriages and all the royal display of garments and the superbness of action in their marching and the different things. It's just beautiful. It just makes you think about heaven. And you think of a person of royalty being like that. And then to think that you are sons and daughters of the living God. That what they've done for that great princess, that great queen. It's like rubbish. It's like the garbage that'll be thrown away. It's the beggarly elements of the world. And yet it's so beautiful, so magnificent. Paul said the glory of that being so great. But yet that glory is to be done away with. And the glory that follows, he said, excels in such a great manner that the glory of that which is following is so great in its excelling that the former glory doesn't have any glory at all. There's no remembrance of it. See, the latter part that is so great, it is so magnificent, it's so great that it can't even be compared to the former. The former, it just fades away. You know, if you had a little candle in here, you were standing here with a little candle, or we say many little candles of candle power. You know, if we were standing with candles, and then all of a sudden, if you know, that is saying that this was a dark area. All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, there came great floodlights, and the entire area became superly flooded with light everywhere. That there was light, that shadows was nowhere to be found. You know, then you couldn't find those little candles, could you? The candles would be magnificent in the dark. But see, the glory of that power, of that great light that so greatly excelled, that great light, the magnificence of it, when it came sweeping in, the candle power would be remembered no more. No more. My, what an opportunity. What a day. Supposing that the days of the Gentiles is over. Supposing that it is over. You say, well, Brother Pike, if it's over, you wouldn't have any business preaching. There would be no reason to preach. No, even in the tribulation, the Bible said And the angels flew through heaven having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell upon the earth. The preacher is from now on. He is God's in this world. He is God's through the tribulation. He is God's in the world to come. But to think that you are God's, all of you gods, I have called you gods, Jesus said. And to think that you're gods, and to think that we would do things so degraded, to think that a God, pardon me for my expression, but I'm a country boy, I guess I'll always be. But to think that a man that carries the title of a son of God would get out into the pig pens of the world and do the way that he does. To think that a woman that is a daughter of God would degrade herself to dress after the common attire of a harlot and to put her body on display before brute beasts and before pigs, as you would say, the way that Jesus termed it. For the Bible said there are swines that go back to their wallowing in the mire to put herself on display before dogs, for Jesus said the dog returneth to his vomit. Could you imagine how degrading it would be in the sight of a human being? For some of these people this morning that are sitting here that have good sound mind, how degrading it would be if you stepped out one morning and looked at your neighbor and your neighbor was out there in the hog pen eating the slop. You would say, my God, my neighbor's lost his mind. And truly that's the case. No person could get out in the world unless they were, as we would say, a mental case. They have spiritually gone mad. They've lost their mind. They're void of understanding. They have lost the mind of Christ. Sidestepped the mind of Christ. See, they are not conducting themselves right. It's a sad situation. But yet they're doing it. Why would you do that? Think of how shocking it would be if you rose up early one morning and you found some person that's been your neighbor, a person of good understanding, down on their knees, snapping at the dog and biting at the dog and wrestling with the dog over a bone. Think how absurd that would be. And yet people do it every day. And God up in heaven and the dignitaries of heaven look down and they see this awful thing. Oh, how bad. Friend, it would be terrible if you was guilty of that or if I was guilty of that and just our neighbors, just them that we love saw us like that. But my, think what it would be if God Almighty saw us like that. God, out of all people, I wouldn't want God to see me in that kind of condition. How do you understand what I'm saying? Just a few more minutes and we're going to close. Now, consider, look around you and say, my God, am I feeding out of the hog pen? My God, am I feeding with the dogs? What am I doing? Like the prodigal when he found himself in the hog pen. When all of his substance was gone, everything that he had was gone. And all of a sudden he got up. He got up. And no doubt he said to himself, my God, what have I done? Where am I at? What have I done? You know, he had taken his inheritance. He had squandered away his inheritance. He had spent his inheritance. He had frolicked it away. Gone into a far country, the Bible said, where the Father couldn't get to him. You know, when you separate yourself from the Spirit of God, you're in a far country. You're in a distant country. You are in a world where God doesn't go. You're separated. God doesn't go into those evil, dark realms of debauchery. God doesn't take part in those kind of things. God veiled himself in a human body to hide himself from the evils of this world because he could not look upon it. And even as the Spirit, as we would say, lifted from Jesus to the extent that Jesus could be made sin, God couldn't even look on His own lovely Son. And the Son became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the rocks were rent in twain. Because God couldn't look on that. You get in a distant country, a foreign place, and God would like to get to you, but God can't reach you. And then the devil will say, if there is a God, why does He let you do this? And if there's a God, why does this happen to you? And if there's a God, always filling your mind with questions. Always. You know, the devil's number one delight is to fill your mind with questions. If thou be the Son of God, if thou be a daughter of God, if there is a God, you know, to entice you to do something contrary to God's Word. Just think what it would have been like if Jesus had turned around to Satan. When Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, then He said, turn the stone into bread. If thou be the Son of God. Just think now, if Jesus had said, now wait a minute. You know, I'll show Him. I'll show Him. Or what if the thought had just arisen in Jesus' mind? Well, I'll just prove that I'm a son of God. That would have been doubt. That would have been doubt. If He had done that, He would have obeyed Satan, and Satan would have been his master. But He didn't do that. Jesus just as much as said, I don't have to have a demonstration. God's in my heart. I know that God is real. He don't have to put Himself on exhibit for me. I am a believer. I believe in my heart. So then, that's what you ought to do. You ought to be convinced in your heart and mind. You know, I had a night vision last night. I've been talking to the Lord a little bit. And I had a night vision. And in this night vision, I heard a voice speak from the heavenlies. Spoke real clear. That is, as far as the sound. The words I can't remember too well. At the time I knew them. But I remember it was Satan. I knew it was Satan. And something had come over me to where I was talking about God's greatness. And I was saying, God can handle it. God will handle it. And I was so positive. So courageous in my stand in the vision. I defied all of the powers of Satan. All of them. From end to end. In the vision. And it made him angry. And it made him so angry that he literally spoke with the sound of human utterance from heavenly places. And he was very angry. And he screamed back at me. And it was kind of shocking at first. And when he screamed back at me, he said something that I couldn't quite put together. Still haven't got it all together. But I feel like I understand the meaning. But he shouted back at me as if to say, all right, see what you can do with me. And then he added this. He said, Purple Heart. Now, that's kind of hard to understand. But you know, there's one thing about it. In God, it didn't move me. It didn't shake me. Because God said it, I believe it. That's the way that it's going to be. And that's the way it's got to be in my heart. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in our heart. It's got to be like that. We've got to take our stand, beloved. We've got to stand in faith with God. We can't waver. We can't waver. We've got to lock ourselves in and stay right there. Stay right there and don't yield not one inch. When we do it, God will come to our rescue. All right, in closing this morning, let me say this. Lest you and I take on a new outlook, if this is a new day, and if the days of the Gentiles are not over, let's take on a new walk with God, a new nearness with God, a new closeness with God, a new concern for God. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind. I don't care what you've done yesterday, forget about it. Get it out of your heart and mind. Don't let the devil hold it over your head. See, and start, just say, I thank God that I still got a chance. Don't live in sad regret, as the song said. Looking back, you can't do anything about that. You should never have done it. You've done wrong, but all people have done wrong. Forget it. Get away from it. And say, my God, it'll be a lesson to me. I'll never do it no more. I'm going to lock myself in with God from here on out. And I'm going to show God I'm sorry them days. From now on, I'm going to belong to Christ. And I'm going to live for God with all that's within me. And by His grace and by His faith and by His power, I'll shake the foundation of the earth. And with God, we'll shake the heavens till the stars fall out. Lucifer will be one of the first. All right. Let's stand together, if you will. Not only stand here together, but let's stand together in Jesus. Let's be a real team for God. We can do it. We will do it by His grace. We used to sing the song, Hold the Fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. I'll wave the answer back to heaven. By Thy grace I will. I can hold the fort by the grace of God. I can't do it any other way. But when He signals to me and He says, Watchman, what of the night? I wave back and I say, all is well because of Thee, O Lord. All is well because of Thee. Being His every day. Being His every moment. Praise God. You're great people. Solomon said, and how can I speak to so great a people? Why so great? Because ye are gods. Why then should you die like men if ye be gods? Why should a God die like a man? Jesus, being God, died like a man so that you would not have to die like a man. Death is for man, for it is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. But it is not appointed unto sons of God to die. There is no judgment to the sons of God. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Judgment is at the beginning at the house of God with the sons of God. Now our sins are gone on before us. There is no judgment to sons of God. Why then should we be afraid? Of whom should we be afraid? Of what should we be afraid? Well, the Bible said, if God's for us, who can be against us? If our ways please God, He maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us. So we can bravely and boldly say that Christ is my helper. Whom then shall I fear? He will supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Why should I fret? Why should I worry? Why should I say, oh Lord, where will I get this? How will I pay my bill? How will I meet this pressing need? Don't you know that God sees it? And the Bible said it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they were yet speaking, He heard them. So then if God knows, and God said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness, why then should I lay up for hospital bills? Why should I take away from the hungry and the needy when I have the promise of God, which is so much the better? If God is for me, if God will help me, if the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, if God will supply all of my needs, why should I then worry? Though there's no way to get it, though there's no one to help me, though there's no place for it to come from, yet the manna came from heaven. Hands did not give it. The stone that was hewn out of the mountain, it came rolling down through Babylon. It wasn't something that somebody cut out. It wasn't something that you had to do with. It wasn't a polished scholar. It wasn't something from college. It was something God did. It was something that God did. I can feel some of you drop and say, well, I thought he was through preaching. Here he goes again. You know, for that, I ought to preach at least another 20 minutes. I ought to get you to sit down and preach another 10. He said, well, I thought you'd done run out. Don't you know preachers don't run out? They just stop. So then, if God is my helper, and I'm saying these things because I feel like there's some that needs them. As a matter of fact, I felt some hearts that took hold to my words when I spoke of God meeting the needs, because some of them have pressing needs. And immediately their spirit responded in faith. And when they did, they got their desire. Oh, you say, but Brother Pike, they may go out of here and they may never get it. That has nothing to do with it. When they touch God, God gave it to them right there. I felt some of them touch God, Bill. That's the truth, so help me God. I felt some spirits rise up and touch God right then and there. Right then and there. Hallelujah. It's like I made mention about the leaf the girl spit up and about the thing that moved from Bill's shoulder. How that their faith went up and touched God and took the answer out of the hand of God. Decree a thing in your heart, it will come to pass. And I felt some spirits. I could tell you some of them that I felt. One woman here that had a need. She had a financial need. This is to help her and let her know that God does know. She had a financial need and she was troubled as to being able to meet it. She didn't feel like she could meet it. But all of a sudden, when I said some of those things, her spirit locked in just like that and took hope, and God granted to her what she's going to need for the purpose. And then another woman right nearby, when I said it, her spirit locked in and she took courage in God also for her needs. I tell you something, folks, God is real. God sees your life and spirit. God knows what you're doing on the inside. Hold fast to that which is good. Don't let any man take your crown. Believe with all of your heart. You'll do this, and I'll guarantee you, you'll find something that you've never found before. Your cup will fill up and run over. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together before we dismiss this morning. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sing it again. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Slip your hands up now. Oh, there's room at the cross for Brother Pike, Sister Pike, Brother Taylor, Brother Gary. Oh, there's room at the cross for you, Brother Al Gonzalez, Brother Jerry, Brother Floyd Owens. There's room. Oh, me.